Thank you.
Good day, friends. Again, we come to you with studies in the second epistle of Peter. Before we take it up, may I say a personal word to those of you who are listening in? I certainly appreciate the letters of many of you who have written, some who are in need, some who have been greatly blessed, and I confess I've been greatly encouraged because some who have written have had a real experience with God because of the ministry of the Word on this program. Maybe I'm speaking to you this morning or this afternoon or whenever this broadcast reaches you. I just trust that you may, if you have been blessed of the Lord or the Lord has talked with you, it may be the Lord has brought you to himself or you've come to assurance or there's been a growth in your own heart of fellowship with Christ. I would love to hear from you. If it's only a card, you know, we fellows really need once in a while to know what's going on. Like to know whether you're receiving the program, enjoying the program, and if the Word of God has become more and more precious to you, and especially if you're more and more in love with the Savior. This, of course, means a great deal to me. That's what I want you to be in your experience, people who are in love with Christ. And being in love with Him, of course, you will obey His Word. And how can I obey His Word if I don't stay in the book? And in these days when there are so many false doctrines and false teachers here, there, among God's people, how we need to be able to discern that which is of God and that which is not of God. For many false teachers have gone out into the world. Satan is coming as an angel of light. His angels, his leaders, his teachers coming as ministers of righteousness for one great purpose, to destroy your faith, to lead you astray from Christ, to get you occupied with man, as if man was the one who should be worshipped and honored and enthroned instead of the person of Christ. Now we come to chapter 2, and we've been dealing in our last lesson with this chapter, and Peter here is talking about false teachers. In the first verse, these are false teachers who have come among God's people. They've worked their way in among God's people. Some of them are preachers, ecclesiastical leaders, what have you. And they're in the midst of God's people. And as Jude says, they even are in your love feasts. When you gather together for the Lord's table to remember the death of our Lord, they're right there. But they're there for one purpose, to slowly permeate you with their poison. They don't come right out boldly and say what they believe. They just drop a word here, a little thing here, and a little thing there, and the first thing you know, unconsciously, you're being prepared to accept things that are not true according to the Word of God. Now, in this first verse, we had the nature of their teaching, and it is very vital, and that is they denied the person of our Lord, and they denied the value of the work of our Lord. For I read there were false prophets among the people. There shall be false teachers among you who shall bring in destructive heresies, damnable heresies, destructive heresies, denying even the Lord that bought them, and shall bring upon themselves swift destruction. And as I said in closing our lesson the other day, their doom is prophesied, swift destruction. In fact, I would say the very moment the Lord takes the church, the real believer, from this world, these men, these false teachers, are going to come under a special judgment of God. You remember in Thessalonians it says he's going to come in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, that obey not the gospel, that believe not the truth, that love not the truth. And the God of this world hath blinded the minds of those who believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them. May I remind you that Paul said to Timothy, he warned him in the last days, there's going to be an apostasy, a falling away from the faith, and men are going to heed seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. We're going to see more of that if the Lord tarries. We're going to see more manifestations of the powers of darkness, as Satan uses men and women to detract sinners from finding a Savior. Now let's look at these next two verses. many shall follow their pernicious ways. Many shall follow their evil ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. With deceit and lies they will make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Let me take these two verses, 2 and 3. The way of truth is going to be evil spoken of. They're going to come as blasphemers, and yet they're going to come with smooth, oily words. They will even take New Testament terminology. Now mark what I'm going to say. They will take scriptural terms and make them mean something entirely different to what was the mind of the Spirit of God when he gave us the New Testament. Take, for example, this question of the resurrection of Christ. They will tell you very frankly they do not believe in the physical resurrection of our Lord. They believe that's a spiritual thing somehow or another. They do not believe in the person of Jesus Christ. They have depersonalized Jesus. Now he's only a concept, the Christ concept. They take the miracles and power of our Savior, and now they say that's just folklore, just folklore. And that man of himself is able to do the job. He doesn't need God. He doesn't need the Spirit of God. He doesn't need the Word of God. As you find in the book of Revelation chapter 3, you remember in the Laodicean church, because thou sayest, I am rich, I am increased with goods, I have need of nothing. They need neither the Spirit of God nor the Word of God. And God said, you don't even know. You're so blinded, you don't even know that you're poor and you're naked and you just need to cover your nakedness. You need to know truth. Pernicious ways. Not only their teaching, but their very character and their very actions are pernicious. They're evil. And by reason of whom the way of truth is evil spoken of. And they're going to lead many, many astray. They're dissolute, licentious. Sin? Sin is no longer sin. Convenient morality. Situation ethics. I have been astounded. I've read articles in magazines of some of the leaders, as well as in our newspapers, of leaders of some of our great denominational churches, where the leaders have advocated, if you please, pot, marijuana, advocated situation ethics, as long as it's love. Even advocating lawlessness and rebellion. This is not of God, my friend. This is not of God. They even say that Jesus was rebellious. Well, he was rebellious against the tyranny of an empty church, of an empty religion. Sadducees and Pharisees had no place for Christ. But I want you to mark, my friends, don't use Jesus Christ as an excuse for lawlessness and for rebellion against the government. Our Savior never rebelled against the Roman government. He paid his taxes. He never rebelled against Rome. He rebelled against the emptiness of false teachers. It's what you have here. Their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. They cheat. They feign words. They come to deceive. They come to allure you from the truth. They promise you liberty, but their liberty is license. They give you liberty to enter into gross sins. This is not liberty. My friend, don't confound Christian liberty with a licentious false spirituality or unbridled sensuality or situationatics. Don't you be cheated. Don't be allured by what they call liberty. May I remind you that true liberty always has the things and respects the rights of others. True liberty respects the other person. When I cry liberty at the expense of somebody else, even though I don't agree with them, my friend, it's not liberty, that's license. That's license. And these false teachers offer you all kinds of things. You're made this way. Of course you're made in sin. Of course you were born in sin. I didn't become a sinner when I lied. I proved I was a liar by sinning, by lying, so on. And this idea of situation ethics, this idea of liberty, I say, my friend, most of the time such talk is license. And notice something else about them. With feigned words, through covetousness, shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. You mean to tell me that they're doing it for an ulterior motive? Yes, I'm saying that. That's what Peter says. They lust for honor. They lust for material gain. They get anything and everything they can from you. Why? Because they're covetous. It's not because they love the Savior. It's not even because they love you. But they come with long words. They come with a cloak of righteousness. They come with a great deal of churchianity. And sometimes with a long face, butter wouldn't melt in their mouths. But what's their purpose? To destroy your faith in Christ. And this is not only true in the professing church, it's true in our universities and colleges, where some of these teachers, and I'm very blunt to say it, go out of their way to destroy the faith of anybody who believes in the Bible. And yet they offer you nothing that's real. They offer you nothing that's eternal. They do not give you any hope. They give you no remedy for sin. They can't bring you to a place where you can enjoy peace. And yet they go out of their way with smooth words to destroy your faith. Now listen, don't get scared when I speak like this. If you love the Savior, remember 1 John 4:4 says, greater is he that is in you in the world, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And this is why Peter in the first chapter is pleading for us to be diligent in the study of the Word of God. The Word of God is your shield. The Word of God is your hope. The Word of God is your sword. And if I can't get into the Word of God, how am I going to be able to tell that which is right and that which is wrong? How can I know when I'm being deceived and when I'm not being deceived? How can I tell when I'm being made merchandise of? And I'm telling you very bluntly, there are those who speak over the radio and they use Christian programs for the purpose of getting money, making merchandise of the people of God, when their heart is not set upon drawing God's people into love with the Savior himself. Now you mark this. False teachers bring in damnable heresies, destructive heresies, for the purpose of deceiving you and making merchandise of you. But notice now, please, from verses 3 to 9, their judgment is just. These who have blasphemed the truth, these who have influenced people away from the Savior, their judgment, my friend, is absolutely certain. Verse 3, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. From verses 3 to 9, you have the illustration of this judgment. And again, may I remind you of 2 Thessalonians 1, 7-9, our Lord is going to come in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and who obey not the gospel. And in verse 3, it slumbereth not. Their judgment is absolutely as sure as God is on the throne. their judgment is certain. You know, men go along as if sin, they go along in their deceit, they go along in their sin as if God was not going to judge them. God hasn't judged for 1900 years. We go along smilingly deceiving people. But brother, I'm telling you, the time is coming when God says enough. And God in his own time is going to allow judgment to fall. In fact, I would suggest in the end of the first verse, shall bring upon themselves swift destruction. And then starting in at verse 4 and running through verse 6, we have an illustration of the certainty of judgment. Now notice it, please. Three times we read, God spared not. God spared not. God spared not. And he picks out three cases. First of all, angels that sinned. If God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, to Tartarus, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. Did you know, my friend, that God has reserved in darkness myriads of fallen angels who rebelled against him? And you remember when Satan fell, he took one-third of heaven with him. He was the leader of a rebellion against a holy, righteous God. And God took these fallen angels, and they're reserved in chains of darkness, waiting judgment. And God spared them not. The second one is verse 5. And God spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. And they knew not till the flood took them away. The suddenness of the judgment. They thought they could go right along in their sin and their corruption, and apparently God didn't even take any notice of what they were doing. Then judgment fell. Do you think that if God spared not the angels, that he will spare these false teachers? If God spared not the old world, do you think he's going to spare these false teachers? My friend, not on your life. I want to say that in Genesis chapter 6, you find ungodliness in full bloom. For I read the thoughts and the imaginations of heart, of the heart of man was evil continually, and God blotted them out. And if judgment was sure to fallen angels, and judgment was sure to the old world, do you think that God is going to set free these false teachers who bring in damnable heresies, who by their pernicious ways deceive the people of God and try to rob people of their faith and destroy their love for the Savior? My friend, there's a day of reckoning coming. And believe me, it's going to be a day of reckoning. What shall I do in view of this? Continue in the things that thou hast learned. Stay in the Word of God. May I again repeat it? The Word of God is that which he has given to you to keep you from false teachers. And it's high time we Christians got down to our Bible and be able to discern that which is false and that which is real. And why not start today? Take that Bible and blow the dust off it and read it. And reread it, and reread it. Read a whole book through. Just like you sit down and read a book, read a whole book through. Read one of the epistles through. Read one of the gospels through. Get to know your Savior. Get to know what you have in Christ. And the Lord bless you today for his name's sake.